Last week, we looked at an introduction into 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, and I spent a little longer time in that introduction because I wanted to lay the groundwork of what happened to Paul on his second missionary journey. We studied the book of Philippians, and there he was imprisoned, and he suffered a great deal under the authorities, and they told him to leave the city. And he went to Thessalonica, and in Thessalonica there was a large presence of Jewish people. And why? They had a temple. They had a synagogue, and that's where Paul had first landed to preached the message of the gospel. And we looked at in the 17th chapter of Acts that he was in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. That's not a lot of time to spend in a place, but Paul did. And many people believed the gospel in their times. And that's an admonition for you and I today. We may plant a seed, someone may water it, but God gives the increase, not us. And that's what we're going to look at as we explore Paul's message in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to see the model church. There's a strong church or work that's in Thessalonica, something that we could emulate in our lives to show that we're working for the Lord. Also, Paul has a strong conversation with those individuals. He reinforces the fact that they stand for God. Even though they suffer affliction, they suffer different things in their lives. Satan's out there tempting him, but yet Paul encourages them to stand fast, stay pat. That's what we're going to look at this morning. And by the way, those lesson sheets are on the back, and I also have lesson sheets for next week's study in the second chapter, verses 1 through 9. So with that, we're going to start off by examining the first question I posed to you this morning. And that is, how is Paul's salutation in 1 Thessalonians different than his other letters? Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Can I get a volunteer to read that for us, please? Get Kirsten.
Paul and Silas and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace.
Thank you. So we see that Paul writes to the Thessalonians. What is different than his other salutations?
You know, the others, he called himself a bondservant and apostle.
Exactly. So he says in most of his other letters that he is an apostle. He has the apostolic authority. And he's also a bondservant or slave to Christ Jesus. And he doesn't say that here. What else is noticeable in this salutation? Anyone? Yeah, read.
Well, he doesn't identify himself as an apostle because he's already familiar with him.
Yeah.
In many ways.
What else can we notice about the salutation? Person?
Well, he's saying grace to you and peace. He's saying, I'm kind of like your continued faith, and I'm proud of you, kind of.
Mm-hmm. You. That's a good point. Anybody else?
He lists two co-authors.
Exactly. He includes Silas and Timothy. And what do we know about Silas, of course, Silvanus?
He was not an apostle.
No. What else do we know about him? If we go back to the book of Acts, and I refer back to the book of Acts because it's the biblical historical record of the church. And we come across Silas in the 15th chapter of Acts. And what do we know about that 15th chapter? Well, the 15th chapter refers to the Jerusalem Council, where the church in Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas back there to confront members of the church in Jerusalem concerning circumcision. People, false teachers, were teaching about circumcision. And not to get into that study, in the 15th chapter, the church in Jerusalem decided to send two people, a fellow named Judas and a fellow named Silas, back to Antioch with Paul and his companions to encourage and reinforce the fact that they don't believe in this practice that these false teachers are spreading. We find out that Silas also accompanied Paul on his second and third missionary journeys. So we see him in Acts 16, 17, and 18. And then again, we read about Silas in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, where he greets the church there. And then again, Peter, in his first letter in chapter 5 and verse 12, mentions how Silas is a very faithful individual. And we know about Timothy because Paul had instructed him, and he must talk to him about the gospel on his first journey. And then on the second journey, he went to visit the city where Timothy lived, and he took him along. So we know about Timothy. So this salutation is a little bit different than all the other salutations that Paul has. He also says, as Kirsten has mentioned, he says, grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that there's basically three components in this first verse. The people who addressed the letter, that was Paul, Silvanus or Silas, and Timothy. The people who received this letter, those were the saints of Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. And also, we see that he refers to grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, we know, is unmerited favor and a blessing from God. And peace means that these individuals are bound together. They have confidence in God's authority and his guidance. And where did we get that? Or where did we get that today?
Church? In the church?
But how?
Study.
Study? We follow God's guidance, God's plan, and that's found in the Bible. He strengthens us. He encourages us. And also, This peace that we have empowers us and blesses us to go forth and work for the Lord. I'm sorry. Okay. So we see that the Thessalonica church was strong because its ministers have remained faithful to the church. They had continued to stay in touch with the church and exhort the believers through visits and letters as long as they were living and able to minister. So Paul didn't just hit Thessalonica and say, and converted them and said, you guys were on your own. He had a love for them. And we're going to see in the second chapter where he uses two analogies. One of a mother nursing a child and also a father who takes care of his children. And this is Paul's attitude towards the individuals. Paul visited the church when he returned to the area on his third missionary journey. Again, going to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Timothy made a special visit to the church for the very purpose of helping the church through a difficult time and to establish and comfort the believers in their faith. But they just didn't preach the gospel and went on their way. They were involved in their spiritual journey so that they can grow. We're going to study that in the third chapter, verses 1 through 6 of this book. And also, the three ministers wrote to the church, at least twice that we know. And it could have been more. We don't know. But we have two letters in the New Testament that we could refer to, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. So why does Paul give thanks to God for the Thessalonians? Can I get someone to read the 2nd through the 4th verse of 1st Thessalonians, please?
We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. Sorry.
Thank you, Di. So we see that they give thanks always for the saints of Thessalonica. They make mention of them in their prayers. And why? Their work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfast of hope they have, as do we, in our Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And also they recognize, or Paul's recognizing that it was God's choice to choose these individuals. So we see that prayer is a very powerful tool that we as Christians have. In a strong church, prays. We pray together. And prayer requires our presence, sharing, and talking to God, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So if we are not in attendance, we are not together praying. And that's one of the qualities of a church, that we should pray together, the whole group. He also goes on to in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, we read, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. And James says in chapter 5 and verse 16, can I get a volunteer to read that verse, please?
Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much.
Thank you, Bruce. So, excuse me. So we say we pray, and we should be praying together. We should be praying for each other. We should be helping each other. And that's what Paul is getting to in his particular introduction, saying, look, we remember you in our prayers, always, so that their faith will continue to grow. So the spiritual leaders, Paul, Timothy, and Silas, they went to Thessalonica, and they just are encouraging the saints to continue to grow in their faith. So, something that we should be doing in our faith. Paul also recognizes they have a work of faith. And the faith that they have drives Christians to work. And what is that work?
Spreading the gospel.
Being kind to others. Being generous to others with our abilities, our talents, our material goods. Helping others, especially our brothers and sisters. Also, faith causes Christians to serve God. And how do we do that? Again, by studying and finding what God expects from you and I. And faith allows Christians to reach God's standards. And God's standards is simple. We find that in the Bible. A standard that he expects each Christian to live up to be faithful, to live a godly life, share the gospel, help others. So there's a lot of this work of faith, and the saints of Thessalonica had that. He goes on to say further in his introduction, he recognizes their labor of love. And love acts even when one is weary. When you're tired and you're down, you still love. You still give to others. And if true love puts others first. And he's recognizing the saints of Thessalonica are doing that. And love is displayed through labor and sacrifice. And we see that even in our congregation today. We see how individuals will go out of the way to help to the best of their ability. And also, love is a giving of oneself to another. And that's what the saints of Thessalonica did. And we said last week that this particular book was written, this particular letter was written 6 months after Paul left Thessalonica. So they needed encouragement, just like you and I. But yet, he wanted to make sure that he recognized their labor of love. And also their steadfastness of hope. And hope gives confidence to Christians. We have hope. And hope is eternal life. Hope makes Christians unshakable. That should be our attitude. We have the hope that Jesus is going to return someday. And we hope that he will take us with him. That's what we are looking forward to. And hope produces endurance. It strengthens our relationship with the Lord. Because we know we put our trust in his and guidance in what he says. And faith, the faithful will experience the fullness of God's goodness, both in the present and in the future. So that's the hope we as Christians have, that we want to be with the Lord one day. He also goes on to say that his choice of you, believers are elected and chosen by God to be his beloved people. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, John writes, "See how great a love of the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him." So we are God's children, and we are going to be with God in heaven, provided we, each and every one of us, has that opportunity, provided we live a faithful life. Again, we see that believers are elected and chosen to be beloved brothers as brothers and sisters. They are called to hold one another even so closely to their hearts and to count one another as precious and deeply loved. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
"Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and expression, compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose."
Thank you very much, Eileen. So, Paul is asking or telling the Philippians that if there's any encouragement in Christ, be the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, and that is to glorify God. Now, the Church of Thessalonica is capable of succeeding in the Lord's work because of these things. It has faithful ministers, people who cared about their soul, people who cared about their spiritual journey. It is a church of the people. We're not part of that church. We're part of the Coburg Church of Christ here. And those individuals were part of the Thessalonica church. It is founded in God and in Christ. And it needs God's gifts, that's grace and peace. That's what Paul alluded to in the first verse of this particular chapter. It stirs up prayer. It's a church that prayed together. Like us today, we pray for one another. We support each other in prayer. It arouses people to work. It inspires people to go out and proclaim God's message. And also we see that it is chosen by God. It's God's elect. So what lessons can we learn from the fifth verse of this chapter? Can I get a volunteer to read that, please?
"For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake."
Thank you, Jane. So what can we learn from that?
Well, it wasn't just that they were told, they could see that these men were of God.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else, Dave?
Well, since what she said is true, then we do the same thing.
Sure, exactly. So when Paul was preaching at Silas and Timothy, they didn't just preach the gospel just in words. They preached in the power, in the Holy Spirit, and in deep conviction. Not only that, they lived what they preached. That is so powerful to look at in our lives today. How do we live? How do we exemplify Christ? We studied for a number of weeks the Philippian letter, the mind of Christ. How do we get that? We just completed the study of the harmony of the Gospels. We learned about Jesus' life while he dwelled here among men. And we realized that he accepted everyone. How do we today do that? It's a challenge. We as a church here, we have each other and we should rely on each other. So we need to be humble servants of God. Never get puffed up about your gospel presentations or answers to challenging questions. We shouldn't take those credits because it's the Spirit who does the work, not us. We are just God's messengers, messengers of the gospel. And all the glory always goes to God because he changes hearts, not us. We must do everything again in prayer. Prayer is pretty powerful. And we cannot change people's hearts, no matter how good we are at sharing the gospel. It is the Holy Spirit's work. The Spirit of God will prick those individuals' hearts, both men and women, to change, to not sin anymore. So how did the Thessalonians receive the gospel? Can I get someone to read verses 6 through 8, please?
You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything.
Thank you, Kirsten. So we see that Paul is praising these individuals. He's saying, look, you followed our lead. They imitated Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and the Lord. They followed with how they conducted their lives. They received the gospel in much affliction. We don't have that today here in our country, but yet these individuals received the gospel. And they turned away from their sin. We also see that the Thessalonians became examples to believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And their faith in the Lord reached other areas too. That is very humbling that these individuals dedicated their lives to God in all of the troubles that they encountered, they still were faithful. That's an example for you and I to follow in our lives today, no matter what we encounter in this world. Stay the course, stay faithful. So how did the Thessalonians change their lives after they believed in Christ? After their belief in Christ? Can I get someone to read verses 9 and 10, please?
For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the hands of.
Thank you very much, Vicky. Excuse me. So the Thessalonians had turned from idols. They turned to God first. Then with God's help and strength, they repented and had turned away from idols. They were, in those days, Thessalonica was a sea port, and many people traveled through that, and also they traveled via the roads, and they were hub. And they had seen people bring different idols in, and they worshiped those idols. When they became Christians, they turned away from them. And such turning is far more than merely just changing one's beliefs about who Christ is. It is a complete reversal of allegiance. We might turn away from sin. Carol.
When Jesus came, God showed that what Jesus was preaching was true by the miracles, wonders, and signs. And then the same thing was true with the apostles when they went out. And we don't have that, but we do have the fact that he put what he wanted us to do in the Bible. And we can show that, or we can tell of the changes that happened in our lives because of his holy revealing word. And that's one way that he strengthens and helps us.
Sure. Just remember, when we were studying the harmony, Thomas was with the rest of the apostles when Jesus appeared to him. And he said, I don't believe this. So I put my fingers in his hands that had the nails, and I put my hand in his side. When Jesus reappeared, when Thomas was there, he said, hey, buddy, come here. Put your finger in his, my hand. Put your hand in my side. We don't have this. We have God's inspired word that we look at, and we as Christians become faithful through that. Going on, the Thessalonians were to serve the living and true God. The Thessalonians embraced Jesus as a living reality, not just a historical figure, not just somebody that came a while ago, and we weren't there 2,000 years ago. So we haven't witnessed Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But these individuals in Thessalonica, their faith led to an active service characterized by love and dedication, reflecting their deep conviction in his deity. The faith of Thessalonians displayed fosters love and motivates their commitment to a new way of life, mirroring Jesus' example. And we have that in our lives when we read the Bible and study what undergone. And John writes in the 20th chapter that all the things that Jesus did could be written in books. It would take millions of pages to fill that up on what Jesus did when he was here. We only have a snapshot what the gospel writers share about Jesus' life. And it's up to us to emulate Jesus so that we can present the gospel to others. And also, the Thessalonians were waiting for the resurrected Jesus to return from heaven, who delivers from the wrath to come. They were waiting for Jesus to return. And those who love Christ long for and anticipate his return. And that's what we should be doing. Hoping that Jesus will come back someday for us. And also, this waiting is not passive. We shouldn't be just taken back and waiting. It involves active faith, perseverance, and trust in God's timing. So they weren't just sitting back and waiting. They were living a life that God wanted them to live, just as us today. We should be anticipating Christ's return. But yet we should be faithful to do what we can to bring others to the gospel. So what can we learn from the Thessalonians in these verses we read? What example did they set for us, Faith?
They were courageous because they gave up idols, and everybody else was doing idols, but they were courageous in their belief and following through.
And conviction.
And they gave up the idols.
Exactly. They turned away from idols. What else did they do?
They gave themselves to God, and so their life was better. It was stronger, and their hearts were filled with love and with Christ.
Exactly, they served the true and living God. Carol.
Oh, I was just going to say that they showed His love to others.
Exactly, they showed the love that Jesus had for others, and finally. They were still waiting for Christ, for Jesus to return from heaven. They're anticipating Jesus' return, like He promised. Thank you very much for your input this morning. Next week, we will continue our study in the second chapter. And again, those lesson sheets are on the back of the...